I greet you in the name and spirit of Christ on this beautiful Sunday morning. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church live stream. So glad to be with all of you in the spirit this morning as we gather for worship. So grateful for our musicians and my colleagues as we gather today, and especially for Chase Benson and Mac Perkle, who are in the sound booth and making all of this happen. We are grateful for this technology and most of all for God's presence with us. As we gather this morning, just a few announcements about the week that is ahead of us. Every day during the week, we have been offering a time of prayer on Facebook at noon. And this is Holy Week. We begin today the journey that Jesus makes in Jerusalem toward the cross. And so we invite you to join us every day at noon on Facebook, but most especially on Thursday and Friday. On Facebook as well as on the website, we will have live worship at noon. Maundy Thursday at noon, and then Good Friday at noon as well. Both of those services will be available throughout the day afterwards as well. So whenever it works in your schedule, we invite you to join us for those holy days. And then next Sunday, Easter morning, we will gather once again for live stream worship at 8:45. We'll be continuing to live stream worship throughout the month of April, and most likely beyond that, so we'll keep you posted on that schedule. But we want to honor our governor's orders and to do what is best for our community, so we'll continue to be here on Sunday mornings and worship with you through live stream. Our worship service today is going to run a little bit differently than usual. This is Palm Sunday. It is also Palm Passion Sunday, the Sunday when we move from hearing the story of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem with the people waving their palm branches toward the Passion of Holy Week. And so we're going to walk through that story together in this service of worship. I invite you, if you haven't already, if you have a candle handy, to light a candle. If you have available to you a leaf or a branch or some sort of plant that you can wave as we sing our opening hymn as a way of participating in the palm part of our service and welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem. From there, we'll move quickly to the table, which is what will feel a little bit different from our regular order of worship, because we'll be hearing how Jesus gathered with his disciples at the Last Supper. Our bishop, Bill McAlilly, has given the churches in the Tennessee Conference the authority to celebrate communion virtually during this time of the pandemic. And so if you have some bread, some juice or wine or even water available, we invite you to get that ready so that you can share in that moment of taking bread and cup together in communion. From the table, we will then move into the Garden of Gethsemane, and I'll spend a little bit of time reflecting on that story before we hear at the end the story of Jesus' arrest. We'll end the service in silence, and so the choir will sing a choral benediction, and we'll spend a few moments in silence together as we ponder the Passion of Christ and what it means for us at the beginning of this Holy Week. So I invite you to join us on this journey of Palm Passion Sunday, that we might remember what Christ has done, is doing, and will do for us.
When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting.
Let us praise Christ on the road to Jerusalem.
Let us praise Christ with loud hosannas.
Let us join Christ in the garden of prayer.
Let us join Christ in the passion and victory.
Let us worship Christ together. Confession is a gift that frees us to take the first healing steps back towards God's path. Let us open our hearts to God's unchanging power as we pray. Merciful God, you know us so well. We are quick to proclaim faith and to praise with loud hosannas, but we are slow to live our faith fully every day. We are quick to claim we will remain steadfast, but when the hour comes, too often we fall asleep or turn away, just as the disciples did. Forgive us, Lord, of all our failings, of all the ways that we fall short in our faith. Thank you for your unconditional love and grace that we so desperately need. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As we come to a time of passing of the peace, I'll remind you, take this time to text a loved one. Take this time in the comments of the Facebook Live to greet one another and pass the peace of Christ. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange those signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you, and also with you.
Peace be with you.
With you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace of Christ be with you,
and also with you.
Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 17 through 19 and 26 through 29. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal.
As we hear this story once again, we come to the table, experiencing Jesus' final meal with his disciples, Holy Communion in a new way. Though physically separated from one another, we are still bound together as family through our baptism. As members of the household of God, we now join together virtually, yet still present to one another as we gather from across the miles. I invite you to join with me in this liturgy of the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
We thank you, Creator God, that you made us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away, our love failing and our bodies diseased, you reached out to us again and again, providing healing, wholeness, and new life. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and say together their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is your Son who came to preach good news to the poor, release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. He freed the oppressed and announced that the time had come when you would save your people. And we hear now the story of his final meal with his disciples from the Gospel according to Matthew. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. He gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Hearing these words and remembering Christ's sacrifice for us and for all people, let us together proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on all of us who gather across the miles, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Let them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, made whole by his witness, passion, life, death, and resurrection. In this season of social distancing, remind us that we are never spiritually distant from you or from one another. May the Holy Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at the heavenly banquet. And together with one voice, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Christ broke bread and formed a new covenant with his closest friends and with all who break bread in remembrance of him. Christ was made known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And bread reminds us that just like individual grains of wheat are gathered together to make a single loaf, we who are scattered are one body in Christ that has been given to us. And though we hold many cups this day, we share in the one cup, the cup of grace offered to us in Christ Jesus. In the next few moments, we who are present in the sanctuary will take our bread and prepare it. We each have our own individual serving of bread and a cup. And once we all have those in our hands, we invite you during that time also to take your bread and your cup and have it ready. And then I will say for all of us, the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ given for you, and we'll all receive at the same moment together and feel that connection of the one body in the Holy Spirit. One of our traditions here at West End is to have an opportunity to make a special gift during communion to one of our ministries. And our communion offering for this month will go to the Junior Internship Program at Bethlehem Centers here in Nashville. There will be more information about that ministry on our Facebook page, but if you'd like to make a gift, you can go online and designate in the other box that this is for Junior Internship Program. Or you can send a check to the church and put Junior Internship in the memo line, and we will receive that and pass it on to our friends at Bethlehem Centers. Now let us take this moment to receive the bread and the cup together as one. My family in Christ, the body of Christ is broken for you, and the blood of Christ is shed for you.
Thank you.
now this lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 30 and verses 36 through 46. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here, stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Last night, I was on a Zoom call with a group of my friends from college. In a few weeks, we were to be gathering on campus for our 30th reunion, but alas, it was canceled, of course. And so we connected across the miles, like many of you have been doing, over Zoom. I had friends from Boston, from Albany, New York, Durham, North Carolina, all the way to Oakland, California. And we spent the first hour of our conversation talking about how bad things had become. Our friend in Albany was talking about how people are being moved up from Queens and from other parts of New York City into hospitals in Albany. Two of our friends are basically out of work because their jobs have been shut down. Our friend out in Oakland, California, is a physician and is seeing all sorts of things in his day-to-day work. And I thought about starting this sermon just talking about how bad things are right now. But you know how bad things are. From our economy shutting down and all those folks who have lost jobs and what that means for the most vulnerable people in our society. For those who started off before the pandemic with no safety net, what that means for them. To the health workers and those working in the hospitals, to the sick sitting alone in intensive care units, things are worse than I can remember in my lifetime. And I've had some conversations this week with some of you in the congregation and with other friends asking the question, where is God in this moment? Is God with us? What is God up to? Is God causing all of this, trying to teach us something? Or is God just asleep to our suffering? It feels sometimes that God is silent, that God is far removed from where we are, just looking on with detachment and waiting for us to get through it from the other side. Well, if you've been asking those questions and struggling within yourself and your own spirit with finding the presence of God in this moment, then let's go together to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is where we find Jesus after he has shared this last meal with his disciples. I don't think his disciples know that they have just shared their last meal with Jesus. I think to them this was just another Passover. And perhaps they've had a few glasses of wine, they're feeling sleepy, and so they have a hard time staying awake in the garden with him. But Jesus knows that it was his last supper with him. Jesus knows that one of these, his best friends in the whole world, Judas Iscariot, has betrayed him. Jesus knows that there is a price on his head. When he entered into Jerusalem with the palms waving, one of the first things he did was go into the temple and turn over the tables. And he called out the hypocrisy of the religious authorities, and he knew from that moment they were after him and they wanted to silence him, and that it wouldn't be long. His hour had come, and he knew it. And so after supper, he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane with these, his closest friends. And he takes with them three of them that, for whatever reason, are always with him in these closest, most intimate of moments, Peter, James, and John. And he says to them, "I am deeply anguished, even unto death. Will you stay with me? Stay awake with me while I pray." That's all he asks of them. He knows they can't fix it, they can't change it, but he just wants them with him. We see Jesus in this moment as his fully human self. Our Christian theology teaches us that Jesus is fully divine, fully God, and at the same time, fully human. And we see his humanity in this moment of anguish, this moment of deep grief and dread and emotion and perhaps even fear. And like any of us, he wants his friends close to him, just to sit with him as he prays. And in this moment of his full humanity, he prays to God. Is there any other way? Is there some way that we could take a shortcut through this suffering and still accomplish what we want to accomplish? Is there any way that I could escape the inevitable, the pain, the torture, the death that lies ahead of me? Is there any way around it? He prays as any of us would, I believe. And in his prayers, he realizes that there is no other way. Somehow we think that in this moment, God is separate from Jesus, that God the Father is aloof from Jesus and looking sternly at Jesus and saying, "No, you have to go through with it." As if God wasn't deeply involved in this moment as well, as if God were not also fully present in Jesus himself. And so we see in this moment not a God who is detached from our suffering, not a God who is sitting back and watching us and just waiting for us to get through it, but a God who is deeply anguished and grieved that the road of love that he has taken, the way of truth that he has walked, because of how he has lived his life from the very beginning, including the tax collectors and the women and the Samaritans and the unsavory and stirring up trouble in Galilee, coming to Jerusalem and challenging the authorities in the temple, calling them to account, continuing on that path is leading to his death. And he is willing to stay on that path. And it is our God who makes that choice. And so here in the garden, we see not a detached God, but a vulnerable God, a grieving God, an anguished God, a suffering God, a crucified God. This is the Christ that the Apostle Paul declares is foolishness to the world. Because we want a God who will rescue us, who will give us those shortcuts through suffering. But here we have the mystery of the Christ, who is our crucified Savior. And this is the God who saves us. This is the God who does not turn away from suffering, but is with us in our suffering. This is the God who is willing to go to the darkest, most forsaken places of human experience in order to be with us and redeem us. So when we ask the question, "Where are you, God?" we find in this story the profound truth that God is with us. When Jesus comes into the garden and he says to his disciples, "Stay with me, stay awake, for I am in deep anguish." I read those words this week and realized that's how I've been praying to God. "God, I am in anguish. We are grieving. We are suffering. Please stay awake. Don't fall asleep to our suffering." As if God would fall asleep to the suffering of the world God loves. No, God is fully present in every one of those ICU units, with every doctor and nurse who is putting their life on the line every day, with those friends working in the grocery stores who are taking those risks on our behalf, with those who are on the streets without anywhere to turn. God is within them and for them, and with us and for us. So the invitation for us is to stay awake with God in that suffering, to stay awake to our own suffering, to allow ourselves to feel it and experience it, and trust that God is holding it with us. To stay awake to the suffering of others and to our world and to the vulnerable ones in our community. To pray for them and stand with them in prayer in this time. And not to shy away from that suffering. And to trust as we go to bed every night that we can place it in God's hands and God will hold it for all of us. And to stay awake to the suffering of Christ. As we enter into this holy week, not to desert him as his disciples did, but to walk with him to the cross. To worship on Maundy Thursday and hear the story on Good Friday of his crucifixion and stay with him at the cross. As hard as it gets to remain in that darkness and in that suffering. And only then can we come back together on Sunday morning and realize the power of our God to redeem even the deepest suffering. Let us take that journey together, my friends, this week, for our God is with us.
As we come to our prayer time this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation and our world as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to make, you may comment on our Facebook page, or for confidential prayer requests, we invite you to go to our website and click on Contact Us. There's a tab there for you to share your confidential prayer requests with our pastoral staff. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you came to this earth and experienced all of our human emotions. From the joy and triumph of your entry into Jerusalem, to your grief and anguish as you awaited what was to come. From your disappointment and frustration at your friends who could not stay awake, to the pain of betrayal by someone so close. So it is, O God, that you understand all that we are feeling on this day. We give you thanks that you never turn away from us, but you receive all of who we are with open arms. So in silence now, we offer to you all that makes us fearful this morning. We offer to you all that makes us angry. We offer to you all that makes us sad. And we offer to you all that makes us joyful. Oh God, even as we make these offerings, we know that there are people suffering throughout the world. We pray in particular for those who are hungry, for those who are sick, and for those essential workers who put their lives at risk day after day for the sake of our communities. We ask, O God, for your healing, for your strength and your courage, and for your peace. Help us to stay awake to the needs of your people, and help us to respond as we are able, that we might be found faithful followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Friends, we invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries to our community and throughout the world. You can give through our website, or you may text to give. You can also mail a check to the church. Our mail is being held by the post office, but someone from our staff is picking it up twice each week, so it is safe to mail a check to the church. We realize that there are many people who have lost their jobs and who are struggling financially right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So we invite you to give with joy this morning.
Sent not his Son into the world to Son, that whosoever believes
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor.
Thank you.